together. For more information about the Portland Renters Assembly, go to kboo.fm and click on the right side for community events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd, Earth Day 2015. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have two guests today. I always like to, on Earth Day, bring back a familiar voice. And in today's voice is Steve Horn with the Smog Blog with an update on the antics of Enbridge once again. And the U.S., of course, in total collusion, the State Department in collusion with the border crossing Alberta Clipper Pipeline Enbridge's project, which carries tar sands diluted bitumen or dilbit from Alberta to Midwest markets. That's what we're going to be talking about with Steve. And we have, an extraordinary update. This is from Barry Rosenberg. Listeners may remember that he brought to your attention the A to Z Forest Plan. It's a build as a so-called experiment, the draft EA for the North Fork A to Z project. This is on the Colville National Forest in eastern Washington. This draft came out a while back. And perhaps people will find time to oppose the Forest Service. This is a so-called experiment, handing over virtually, listen to this, all management and implementation of timber sales to a profit-driven private timber corporation, in this case, Vaughan Brothers Lumber Company. Once this happens, once they hand this, the management of the national forests over to Vaughan, that means the end of all sovereignty over our national forests. It will now be in the hands of corporate interests. This is basically the Trans-Pacific Partnership was an early opening and an early attack on the last of our trees. With so much at stake already gone, it's 95% of our forests are already shipped overseas and turned into who knows what. But right now we have Steve Horn back on the show. Welcome, Steve. We're so glad to have you on the program today. It is Earth Day, and Earth Day or no, industry seems to keep rolling right over our land. So Enbridge, can you bring us up to date on Enbridge's latest efforts?
Absolutely, and thanks for having me, Chris. I think it's important to point out a little, just very, very briefly on the basics of what this pipeline is. It's a pipeline that goes from Alberta down eventually to the Gulf Coast, just like the Keystone XL. The difference is that it is three different pieces. One of them is the one that I wrote about, which is called Line 67 or the Alberta Clipper, which connects something called Flanagan South, which connects to something called the Seaway Twin. But all three of those pieces do the same thing as Keystone XL, that is bring this dirty, very climate change in, causing intensive, carbon-intensive oil or oil-like substance called bitumen, brings it down to the Gulf Coast, to Gulf Coast refineries, and actually not only to Gulf Coast refineries, but also to the global export market, which, of course, has its own footprint. And so that's important to point out, first of all. Second of all is what my story is about, although that is covered, what the basics of what it is covered in my story. Even more important is, why does this pipeline even exist? Why does the Alberta Clipper exist, and why is it being expanded, and how is it being expanded? So it exists because in August 2009, the Obama administration basically rubber-stamped the project through the State Department through the same process that the Keystone XL is undergoing right now. That is, it needs State Department approval and needs a presidential permit. So it got it during congressional recess in 2009 before most people are really paying much attention to the tar sands or to pipelines.
This is one of these recess actions that presidents are famous for, taking
exactly.
advantage of nobody's minding the store.
Exactly. These low-profile bureaucratic decisions that only the most dedicated followers of government are paying attention to, but it's not really what gets covered by the national press. The national press is chasing around people in Congress during that time who are at home in their districts. So that said, right now they really wanted an expansion since 2012. It was a 400,000 barrel per day pipeline. They really wanted it to be about double that capacity. And so to do that, they needed to go through the same process. But importantly, now people are paying way more attention to the tar sands and more attention to pipelines. And they realized, oh no, we really have a battle in front of us. And so they didn't really think they could get that permit in a hasty manner. And so instead of going through the normal process, what they did last year, as these emails show that my story is all about, is they basically just went to the State Department and said, "Hey, we're building this pipeline. Here's how we're going to do it without having to go through the conventional process." And I, you know, didn't even ask, or at least according to his emails, they didn't even ask, "Are you okay with it?" All they really had to say is, "Hey, we're doing it." They're legal counsel for Enbridge. "Hey, we're doing it." And State Department said, "Oh, okay, that's fine. Go ahead." Basically, that's what the emails show, more or less.
And just to let listeners know, the Smog blog has dozens of such emails. And
exactly.
Reading through it, it is indeed a very, very alarming inside view of how the U.S. State Department handed
exactly.
over the permits to Enbridge.
Precisely, yeah. And so these emails definitely show no pushback by the State Department at all. Indeed, one of the emails shows that the main contact for the State Department, who was the point person for this attorney named Ona Haas, she was actually emailing her State Department colleagues and saying, "Hey, look, Enbridge actually wants to make an announcement about this at an Investor Day conference, something in New York City. Well, will they? You know, can we let them do that? First of all, and second of all, what should we tell the press?" So basically, they were just looking there. The whole thing was behind the scenes. Everything was greased for Enbridge to get a permit without getting a permit. So they got the State Department seal of approval, as these documents show. Indeed, the main image right now in this article is the head of the Bureau of Energy Resources in the State Department, Carlos Pascual. I should say the former one. He's now at Columbia University. Exactly. Yeah, there's an image of him signing off. So they definitely got the State Department permit, but it wasn't through the conventional means. And that means that there were no public hearings, there were no public comments. Indeed, that the public first found out about this permit that they got through the Federal Register when it was published last summer. And so what these emails offer is sort of an inside look at how that ended up being published in the Federal Register. How did Enbridge do this? And it's not a total picture. It's only what Enbridge and the State Department included in this court case that's ongoing right now in Minnesota in the U.S. District Court. But it is, at least, you know, it shows enough where you know that the State Department pretty much bent over backwards on behalf of this company. And who knows how, and basically, it's only one case study of probably many where they do this on behalf of global multinational corporations like Enbridge.
But it is being litigated in the state.
It is, and it's a very important case. It's the Sierra Club and many environmental groups basically arguing that you can't do this. You can't, if you want a pipeline permit, if you want any kind of anything that crosses the border, if you want a permit, you have to go through the conventional process. There has to be democracy involved. There can't just be these backroom deals. That's basically that's without going through all the legal details. That's basically what the case is all about.
And Canada, I suppose Canada has signed off on it along with Stephen Harper's government ages ago.
Yes, I mean, the Canadian part of it is its own issue. There's two different pipelines. One's called Line 3. One's, as I mentioned, Line 67. The two connect at the border. Line 3 at some point had to be approved by the Canadian government. Both of these pipelines are actually really old. The issue is actually that they were relying on these old permits for pipelines that were for other oils, lighter oils, to do this. So there's also, of course, safety issues involved. Besides all the non-democratic things that were involved, there's obviously safety issues and using old infrastructure for this newer heavy oil, as we saw in the case of ExxonMobil with their the Mayflower, Arkansas spill for their Pegasus pipeline. Using old infrastructure for tar sands can be extremely hazardous, to say the least, and that was one of the biggest on land.
And we're learning that now as things continue to explode and oil trains continue to run off the rails. Steve, we're fresh out of time. Thank you so much for that. We'll put links to all of this. It's really, it's some kind of nightmare that is unfolding on our own soil, on our own earth, this Earth Day 2015. Steve, thank you so much for that. We're so glad to welcome you back.
Thank you.
We'll put links to the Dismog blog if listeners have not already discovered it. It is a wealth of information of this sort. Next, we are very, very happy Earth Day of all days to welcome Barry Rosenberg back to the KBOO airwaves. Listeners are really paying close attention here are already familiar with the A to Z plan. It is essentially the biggest giveaway of the tiny, tiny 5% of our forests. We're handing that 5% over to corporations, to timber companies for management. And we all know how timber companies manage a forest, right? Right? So this in question right now, and where we need to direct our attention very closely, is the North Fork A to Z project on the Colville National Forest in eastern Washington. But there have been developments since we last spoke. Barry, welcome back to the KBOO Airways. We're so glad to have you back on the show. And you do have an update for us, I believe.
Yeah, I do have an update. But first, I'd like to just say that even though this is Earth Days, this is one of the darkest Earth Days for the National Forest that I've been involved in a long time. And part of that is the A to Z timber sale on the Colville National Forest in eastern Washington, which has been heavily supported by the Lands Council, which is part of the collaborative process up there on the Colville National Forest. And the Lands Council was once one of the strongest advocates for forest protection in the country. At that time, it was called the Inland Empire Public Lands Council. Well, anyway, they're supporting this timber sale, which is not only just a huge timber sale, which is calling for 30 miles of roads and 37 million board feet, and that's about 7,500 logging trucks worth, but they are also empowering the timber industry to take over the management of our national forest, the timber management. And the timber industry is doing the layout, deciding what is going to be cut, where the roads are going to be built, how much is going to be logged, and so on. And they do the timber industry is doing the environmental assessment. So the forest.
The timber industry is doing the environmental assessment, right? Is that what you said?
Exactly. Exactly. They hired a contractor to do it. And so the Forest Service is just standing by and reviewing their work. And since the Forest Service is anxious to get as much timber cut as possible on the National Forest, they're, of course, going to approve this sale. So what is really frightening is that if this is an experiment, that if it comes to fruition and spreads throughout the country, it's really going to put the timber industry in charge of the Forest Service, in charge of our national forests, and as far as timber management is concerned. And I'll tell you why this is such a shocking thing is that I was hired back in 1990 to work for the Inland Empire Public Lands Council, which is now called the Lands Council, to develop a grassroots forest watch program, and which I did. And I do it's a hands-on training with forest activists throughout the Inland Northwest and the Northern Rockies. And it was very successful. Once these rural activists had gotten the skills on how to stop illegal and destructive timber sales, they applied this knowledge, and the timber sale cuts went down by 75% within 3 years. It was incredibly successful. The problem now is that the collaborative process, which is being taken over by many national conservation groups and the Lands Council in Spokane, Washington, which is a strong advocate, are ramping up the logging in our national forests. I'll give you one example. The Lands Council, here's a quote, Mike Peterson, the executive director of the Lands Council, was interviewed by Evergreen magazine, and regarding the collaborative process. And this is really a telling quote. He was interviewed and said, what projects as a Lands Council working on stand out in your mind? And he said, it's a Bonham Canyon project on the Idaho Panhandle's Fernand Ranger District. He said, we've made up the Forest Service developed the initial plan, which we make up for the Panhandle Collaborative, all thought it was too small. They never say it was too small. So we asked if we could take a crack at revising it. And to our surprise, the Forest Service said yes. We took it from 1,200 acres to 2,400 acres, from 7 million board feet to 30 million board feet.
On that note, we have to end. I'm very sorry. I'd like to have you back on the show. I really want people to hear more of this. This is terribly important. We also need to know what to do about it. I'm going to call you back. We'll have Barry Rosenberg back on the show in the very, very near future. It is indeed a dark earth day. This has been Cascadia 4. Earth Day 2015, April 22nd, Patsy Klinberg engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Patsy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andrig. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.